For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, everybody, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I am James Haskell, along with my co-host, Glenn Martin. And Glenn, this is a long-awaited show. We're really excited to talk about this. Free agency is hot and heavy, but really, the next shoe to drop, the next big deal, obviously free agency is still, you know, a big deal. The Ravens are working through that, and we're going to talk about those things. But we're really excited to kind of start digging into the draft. And, of course, you guys know, if you've been watching the show, we're going to have Cole Jackson on tonight, who's done some really awesome research into these players. We're excited to pick his brains, talked about some potential dark horses, surefire front runners, guys we should stay away from, etc. So, man, I'm really looking forward to this show. Glenn, how are you doing this evening on a Friday night?
Doing well. It's beautiful. It's been beautiful for a few days here in Baltimore and around the city. But, I mean, most importantly, look, spring is coming. We got the draft coming. We got Orioles baseball. I am super pumped. I love draft season. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love everything about it. The hope it brings, the unknown, the excitement of the young guys, you know, getting to live out their dreams. I can't wait to talk to Cole, pick his brain, get a little bit of insight into what we have upcoming in just not too long now, Jimbo. Draft's coming up very quickly. But before we get into the draft talk, we do got to take a couple minutes here and talk about some other news and notes that popped up. First and foremost, I saw the introduction as Jack and Bobby Not Brown is talking about in the comments here. PQ embracing the new villain role, as he's saying, over in Pittsburgh. He didn't give a lot of credit to those who say that Roquan Smith, quote unquote, made him. Says he just took a little bit longer to get to where he is now, and he's ready to help elevate the play of those around him, and he's ready to be the villain. He's ready to get back at us a little bit, he said, and be the villain. So what do you think about Pat Queen?
Well, that's our villain.
Come on, man. We already hate the guy?
Yes! I told you, dude. It's straight up tribalism. Tribalism, baby. You crossed the line. See you later, my friend. I'm not going to say you're dead to me. But we'll see you in retirement, and we'll congratulate you when you want to retire as a Raven, right?
I love it. You know, I love it.
Dude. Good for him. I'm happy for him. But look, Glenn, yeah. I think I said it right. We got the right one. We only had to pick one. It's a surefire thing. We got the right one.
We did get the right one. Yeah.
You know, I mean, just as well, speaking of other Ravens making moves, obviously PQ is a big deal, but it doesn't stop there. We talked about this, and I think I called this out as a potential in our last show, but Hollywood Brown is officially, in the most Chiefs way possible, a Kansas City Chief. And honestly, I think kind of on the cheap.
Oh, for sure.
Considering if you look around the league, some of these guys getting $18, $19 million a year, straight up, Hollywood Brown's better than some of those guys.
Yep.
I'll say that, right? And he is now a Kansas City Chief. Glenn, what was your take as soon as you saw that?
Oh, I thought, man, he got his way, man. He got a daggone Hollywood. You know, look, when they leave, it's hard for me to root for guys. I mean, there's a few out there that I just, you know. But it's hard for me to root for guys when they aren't wearing Ravens purple anymore. I'll be honest, I'm a Ravens fan first and foremost. So I wasn't necessarily bummed out to see him end up in Arizona where the team was not doing well and they only had a few wins. I wasn't disappointed in that.
Yeah.
But man, he got his way, Jimbo. He got to the daggone Chiefs Kingdom, and I'm not happy about it. Mainly the reason I'm not happy is because he's going to do really well there. Like, he's going to absolutely ball out.
Yeah.
We won't see now I know he had the one game where he had a bunch of drops against Detroit for us, and that kind of rubbed all Ravens fans the wrong way. But I don't think we'll see those dropsies that the Chiefs receivers had this past season. I think he's going to get 100 catches. And he'll go well over, I'd say, 1,200 yards. I think he's gonna have a big year for them.
Well, and all of us, he's gonna have all day to. We talked about this, right? He's gonna have all day to get open. deep speed is a killer, and he's gonna have all day because you know the refs don't bring their flags to the game, right? When they play when the Chiefs are playing offense. So I mean, if you look at the formula the Chiefs have had, it stays the same. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and a speed guy somewhere.
Yep.
Right. And this year they kind of had to do that in committee to a certain extent, but certainly they've got their guy, and I'm sure they're hyped about it.
Yeah. And so that $11 million. Dang, bro. I thought he was gonna get upwards of 18.
I think so too. Yeah.
I think he's tired of losing, and he was doing a lot of it in Arizona. And now he wants to do some winning, and he'll definitely be doing that now in Kansas City.
Yeah, the AFC West is absolute doo-doo, except maybe we'll see what the Chargers can be. But obviously the Chargers are like Keenan Allen just traded him.
Dude, I love all the memes. As soon as Greg Roman got there, all the wide receivers are gone.
Dude.
So, I mean, Mike Williams is out of there, right? Yep, Keenan. Out of there.
What's the point, right?
Like, we don't need you.
That's right. We got Gus Edwards.
Can you block? That's what he's yelling down the hallway.
Call Miles Boykin.
Greg Roman's like, is Miles available? He blocks. He's like, all he sees his head pop out. Like,
yeah. No, not even this way, Glenn. It just goes
pops up and under. Yeah.
He's like, Jim. hops on Jim's shoulder. Yeah. Hey, man. Is Miles Boykin? Miles Boykin walks in looking all, hey, Greg. Ready to do this thing?
Yeah, he did have that thunderous voice.
Yeah. They didn't have thunderous play.
No. But there's a lot going on around the news. But yeah. Look, we're here to talk about one thing here.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about one thing, and that is the NFL draft. And I feel like I've been waiting a long time to do this, but I'm happy to do it now. Welcome back, Cole Jackson. Welcome to the show.
I'm alive, boys.
Lead member of the triage unit, Cole Jackson.
My God. Well, you guys, the last time I was on here, remember I had to leave early?
Yeah.
So that was Quinn waking up in the night to start hand, foot, mouth. So she woke up the next day with all the symptoms, but she was literally up that night from, I left here at like 9 o'clock. She was up till 5 a.m. It was, it's just been one thing after another. But,
do not tell me this, Cole. Please.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
My son went through it.
Don't be silly. Wrap your willy.
Too late, man. It's too late for that. Yeah. Okay.
I'm giving it to our viewers.
I see. Or just get ready for ridiculous sleep deprivation.
Yes.
Yeah, seriously.
The worst part. But so happy to have you back, Cole.
Yes.
Thanks, glad boy. To see you're doing well.
Oh, I just gotta be straight up, Cole. I thought that I offended you.
Yeah, he thought he hurt your feelings when he laughed at your.
I didn't laugh. I wasn't laughing.
He thought he hurt your feelings.
No,
dude.
I was laughing at the time that Garmin said you could run because I know you can run faster than that. So I've been waiting for like 3 weeks to clarify this. I was not laughing at you. I promise.
I if you guys see the way I act on Twitter, trust me, I can take it. You gotta have thick skin to dish it like that.
Now, before you get into the draft, the last thing I want to say is, did either of you guys see the Derrick Henry hype video the Ravens put out?
No.
Uh-uh.
The King Has Arrived is, I think, the name of it.
Oh boy, I gotta check it out.
And it is so good.
Their media team does.
It will. By the end of it, you're like full on middle of the season football energy. Let's go. Like, oh, it's really good. So check it out. The Ravens did a good job with that. But Glenn, like you said, I know we've been chomping at the bit. Let's get into it.
Yeah. And I got a couple quick ones before the draft. First and foremost, got to get your take on what Ronnie Stanley did for the team with the restructuring of his contract. Were you surprised as I think a lot of people were?
I think he was taking a pay cut of some sort. I think it was probably one of those scenarios where they're like, if you don't take a pay cut, we're going to let you go. I think that is absolutely a certainty. But I don't think people realize the amount of flexibility he gave. Like, it was above and beyond what he had to do. You know, if you take a look at, you know, Brian McFarland or Dan Reese, kind of the guys out there that have a clue what they're talking about, because I know I don't. They were expecting like a $3-4 million savings. He saved them $10 million. So that is absolutely insane. And it removed his 2025 salary and replaced it with a void year. So he'll actually be a free agent in 2025. So not only did he convert about $9 million into incentives that he can earn back that were classified as not likely to be earned. So he didn't, the incentives he has to meet were not ones he achieved last year. So I'm assuming they're appearance related. Yep. And not only that, he didn't guarantee himself a contract in 2025. Now that part not as relevant because he was likely getting cut no matter what, unless he had like an crazy all-pro year. Season out of nowhere, just because the cap savings were so high. So that part's not as, you know, as expected, but to give that much of your salary up to earn back in incentives, it was above and beyond what he had to do. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, super excited to watch him. I hope, you know, this is going to be the first training camp in a very long time where he's not nursing an injury going into it. And I think that is very significant. You know, he's always had, you know, he's missed all of July. He's always missed OTAs and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And then he's slowly, you know, mid-August working his way in, and it's hard to get ready. And it's probably leading to these secondary injuries beyond the ankle, like when he gets the knee injury and that sort of thing. So nothing but good news for the Ravens. Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope he just has an opportunity to get strong. Get strong, Ronnie, mm-hmm. right? Like, protect yourself. Get as strong as you can. Adit Mahmood says, O-linemen have to be happy with Donald retiring. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously another mm-hmm. big thing. Aaron Donald called it quits today.
He saw Matabike taking his title. He saw Matabike coming for that title, baby.
No? I mean, no. I think this guy's 10 years, surefire Hall of Famer, right? Like, there's zero...
Oh,
5 years.
Question
five
zero.
Years. Yeah, 5 years. One of the best.
No, I mean, in 10 years, like he had. Oh, he called it quits, and you know, in a 10 year, you know, he played for 10 years. That was my.
Oh, point. Gotcha.
Yes, in 5 years, he's in. Yes.
Oh yeah. He's oh in. Yeah. Punch his ticket, 100%. He's one of the goats, but yeah, appreciated Adit. He's yeah, man. Yeah, he's gonna. He got a lot of guys more money, but with his play, I will no say kidding. That he raised the bar, like they always say players should do.
I also think last thing I just want to say about him, never talk about the Ravens. I also think he allowed for a different body type to play in that position.
Yeah.
And find true. Success. I mean, Matabike is a similar body type, right? And I don't know if those guys earlier in life would have gotten like disqualified from that role if a guy like Aaron Donald doesn't go in and absolutely dominate the way he does. So I think that's important for the league too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. Time for some draft questions.
Let's do it. Cole. Let's delay it.
No time more. For some draft questions. Anytime there's a draft, the first thing I want to know, the very first thing I want to know, Cole, is how many quarterbacks are expected to go before the Ravens pick? Because that's guaranteed players I know the Ravens have no interest in.
It's a great, great question. And I do the exact same thing. It's how many of these guys can we tick off that's going to push someone else down the board? So, I mean, obviously, Caleb Williams, Drake May. They're going to go. And then you're kind of left with, I think, three guys that all have the potential to go. And I mean, this happens every single year where like a guy like Jaden McDaniels, JJ McCarthy and Bo Nix, that kind of second tier of quarterbacks. I'm going to leave Michael Penix out of it. But some may agree with me. So, I mean, you could even schmadger him in there if you feel necessary.
What word did you just use?
Schmadger?
Schmadger. Schmadger.
He's like to smash. And...
Is that a Canadian thing? I haven't.
I don't know. I don't know where I was going with
is that. Like but... finagle him in there?
I don't know what finagle is. Is that a?
Oh,
that
finagle. He doesn't know finagle. Wow.
Like I must have read it in the Lorelax last night. I don't know. but I love this question because it really is critical, and I just every year quarterbacks seem to get drafted in the middle to the end where. Like the middle of the draft is where you get what I call the quarterback purgatory. That's your teams that didn't make the playoffs, likely because they didn't have a good quarterback, that are not bad enough to, you know, be picking top five to get one of the top guys, but aren't good enough to be making the playoffs. And, you know, that's where, you know, the Falcons have been there for so long. You know, the Vikings have been doing it for a long time. You know, people like Kirk, I don't, but you know, it's just this quarterback purgatory. They're never going to be able to improve on what their like mid-level quarterback is. So you will see them take a shot at some of these guys. So we need teams like that are going to like, you kind of saw a team like, Minnesota that picked up that extra draft pick. You know, they have number 11 and a pick in the 20s. So, you know, are they going to try and make a move to take a third quarterback? I think, you know, 1-2 is going to be QBs, Chicago, Washington, but, you know, is Minnesota now positioning themselves to move up and grab a quarterback, right? So that we want to see that. And then what's the result of that, right? Because if they jump up, then some of these other teams that are in that, you know, mid-level range might be like, oh shit, now we have to get up there and make sure we get someone, or, you know, when it comes to us, you know, we can't wait to the second round to take a Spencer Rattler or, you know, some one of these guys that probably isn't going to be a starter. So, you know, a couple of teams that could do that. People will disagree with me. I actually wouldn't discount the Jets from doing that because, yes, they have Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know what he's up to right now. Like, he's, you know, campaigning. He's
going political. I think the vice president is what he's going for.
There will be comments on this video of people saying you're crazy, but I don't think it's that crazy. Not when you're kind of stuck in that area. He's also coming off a significant injury. He's also
40 years old.
Exactly. So, and the Denver Broncos picking at 12, you know, they're obviously going into a rebuild. So they're going to have to decide, am I going to tank next year with my shitty roster and then I will have a top pick, or do I take a shot on one of these guys because I want to, you know, be competitive? You get the Las Vegas Raiders. They've been looking for a quarterback forever. You know, even the Saints, you know, is Derek Carr their guy? There's a number of teams out there. So I really think that's going to be interesting to see how they play that out. But I'm really hoping, I absolutely want to see Minnesota make that trade, be anticipating. Another team, New York Giants, you know, is Daniel Jones their guy? I know they just paid him, but, you know, is that definitely their long-term plan? They just traded for a backup too, didn't they? So, you know, I'm just really interested to see how this plays out. Who did they sign today?
They just signed someone. It wasn't Ritter.
Signed or traded for? Was it
where did the Seahawks backup go? What's his name?
Locke. Oh, yeah, Drew Locke. Yeah, that was him.
Locke, not Locke.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving pieces, but, like, we need the QB purgatory to be active, basically. That's what we want to see, and I think a trade-up from the Minnesota Vikings to go get their guy could be the way that happens.
And, Jimmy, do you look at any other positions as like, how I look at quarterback as, all right, I don't care who's there.
Yeah.
I can't see him taking that.
I think another easy one is tight end.
Okay.
Like, can't, because you have a plan A and a plan A.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? I just think it doesn't make too much sense there. You know,
it's kind of like when Kyle Hamilton slipped, we had Chuck Clark, we had Marcus Williams. It wasn't a need. If anything, I think a lot of people said we were better than average there. But yet that guy was too sweet to pass up.
Yeah.
But no matter what, no tight end. Okay.
I don't think so. And then I guess, they could still look, the Ravens could still always just end up with, I don't know if somehow maybe the best interior defensive lineman falls, right? Because of team needs. I can see the Ravens absolutely just letting him fall in their lap. But I could also kind of name that as a position where it's highly unlikely that I see the Ravens.
Yeah, I think you want to see, you know, a team maybe go for Braden Fisk, who just, you know, blew up the combine, right? Like, that's kind of a guy that's on the fringe. You also want to see the linebacker and Peyton Wilson and the safety and Tyler Newman out of Minnesota. You want to see them go in the top 30 because that's going to, again, push someone down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gotcha. So safety, tight end, quarterback is the positions. Okay. I like it. All right. Well, Cole, do you see one of those quarterbacks? This is my last question before I really start getting more into you know, some players here. Do you see a player, like you mentioned some of those back end of the first round quarterbacks, where a team will say, look, I want that 30th overall pick. I want that fifth year option. And the Ravens go, hey, we want to acquire more picks. We're going to trade out of here.
That's a great question. I think it's, you know, again, some of those teams that we just talked about that, you know, maybe the run doesn't happen, right? And then you get around to round two and you have, you know, maybe the Patriots didn't take a quarterback, right? So, you know, and it's really, I should have said this at the front end, like the Patriots at number three and what the Vikings could do, that's really what you're hoping for, right? Like, they just traded away Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. You're probably hoping that New England would trade down with Carolina, give up a bunch of picks, and that's where they're going to jump up to get their pick of that second tier quarterbacks, or else now Minnesota feels like they have to get up to get the fourth quarterback. So, it, you know, that's really that. that New England pick is critical. But let's say, hypothetically, that run doesn't happen. It goes quarterbacks 1-2. Minnesota doesn't have to do anything. They take a third quarterback at 11. Well, now New England might be like, well, I better jump up to get a quarterback after I just picked Marvin Harrison Jr. So, you know, it just kind of shows the way that, you know, that's going to come back around, and it can benefit the Ravens in both ways because.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I've done a number of mock draft scenarios where it's like, you know, trade back, pick up some picks, take a guy like Kingsley Suamateo to BYU. There's your, you know, offensive tackle, and you're picking up more picks. And then what they can do is, you know, be creative later in the draft to, you know, either go ahead and have a 2022 draft where they picked 11 guys, or be aggressive and trade up to get guys that they're targeting, right? They can trade up in the second round to go after a wide receiver, go after another offensive tackle, offensive guard, that sort of thing. So absolutely, there's a scenario. I think a guy that's really underrated is Bo Nix, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a team, you know, trade up in front of someone to go get him.
Yeah, they just got to make sure he's not a grandpa yet, right? Like,
yeah. 24, I think? 24?
No, isn't he like 27?
He's 24, but
it feels like he's 38.
Wasn't he in college for 8 years?
Wasn't he in the QB1 documentary, or am I making that up?
I think you're right. How long ago was that?
That was, I feel like, it was a long time ago.
4 years, COVID years, man. COVID years.
Dude, my gosh. Anyway, no, that's a good point. But Cole, this is what, on the other end of the spectrum, say the Ravens stand pat. You got money on the table. I'm not saying player, but position. They're picking at the pick. You know, where are you going? What's your gut telling you? You got money on it. What are the Ravens doing at 30 if they're on the clock? Position-wise, I'm not saying identify a player yet, but where are you at right now?
I think they've really, and I mean, this can change with an acquisition, but I think they've really narrowed themselves into an offensive lineman. And yeah. You know, they have three vacancies on the offensive line, the starting O-line. You've lost both your guards and your right tackle. Obviously, there's some internal options, Ben Cleveland, Andrew Voorhees. I do not think Daniel Falele is an option, so I'm not going to list him. But, you know, you have a couple options at guard. You don't really have a right tackle option that you're going to want to start. They have shown that, you know, no matter what, their best position for Patrick McCary is to be the sixth man. They paid him for his positional versatility going into game day, knowing he can play all five positions. It's a huge value add to the team. So, you know, I don't think that he's a long-term starter, and I know for a fact that they're worried about his durability, and it's been seen anytime he's had to start consecutive games, he's ended up getting hurt. So it's just, you know, not an ideal scenario. So I really think they've pigeonholed themselves into needing an offensive tackle. I think that's probably okay because this is one of the deepest defensive or offensive tackle classes in the last few years. So, you know, I got to say offensive tackle, but you know, it all depends. There's a lot of guys in here that only played right tackle in college, which I think is really interesting. And we're seeing that more as a trend, where guys aren't necessarily switching, but there are also a few guys that have switched and have that swing tackle experience. So, you know, I got to go with tackle.
Yeah.
Tackle's the spot. I mean,
yeah. Well, and before we get to Don's comments, I find it hard to disagree with you only because it makes me nervous about the proposition of having a ton of turnover and then expecting the Ravens to produce at such a high level. So if they're going to have a lot of turnover, they've got to fill that with as much talent as they can to give them the best opportunity they can to have as much talent, you know, in front of Lamar Jackson as they can. They've got to take swings there. But so I agree with you. Don C says, while the Ravens haven't been great drafting skill positions, they are great at developing O-line. Do we draft right tackle and guards? Are there any free agent tackles worth it?
That's the big question.
I talked about it today. That Trent Brown's a guy that, you know, the problem with that move is, like, they could bring Trent Brown in. When he was with the 49ers, he played right tackle. So he's a guy that switched sides throughout his career. But it's like, why did you trade a reasonable contract
Right. And Morgan Moses for cap savings to get another cap savings. It's like,
makes no sense,
you know, I do think Trent Brown, don't get me wrong, Trent Brown's a better player than Morgan Moses. So if you can make the money be about the same, then you could say we improved. You know, he's not as durable, but he's a higher level.
He's got to play.
Yeah. And, you know, you could even put, you know, is Tyron Smith that guy? Can Tyron Smith play both sides? Would he even want to? Would Ronnie play the right side? You know, Ronnie doesn't really get much of a say. He's playing in an incentive laden year. You know, he has to play for his money this year. So, you know, maybe that's a move they could make. So, I mean, there are certainly options. I wouldn't say there's a lot of options that make sense, because I think we heard them say loud and clear, we're going to get younger, we're going to get more athletic. And then they moved on from Kevin Zeitler and Morgan Moses, who were both over the age of 30. So,
yeah, the one thing I was going to say to that, Cole, is I think that the Ravens, based on who they are and who John is, I think they feel most comfortable with their ability to groom a guy more than they do about just bringing a guy in. That's just my opinion. I think that at offensive line, I think they feel really comfortable at being able to groom as long as they can draft the right guys. So I guess if you match up Eric's confidence with his ability to get a guy that they like, the Ravens, you know, staff feels like no problem. We can groom this kid. You know,
it's just not often they go into a draft with such a glaring weakness. They always like to say, let me fill all the holes so we can do best player available. How can you do that when you have to replace three starters on the offensive line? It seems, I don't know. I think I didn't like the trade of Morgan Moses, just because, yeah, he was banged up and he didn't play maybe to the level of you expected, but he was out there. He battled his ass off. And if you think if he's healthy, his play would improve, and he wasn't that expensive. Like I just feel like, man, they are taking a big risk going into the draft. Is it possible, Cole, to come out of a draft theoretically with three starting offensive linemen in one draft?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, it reminds me of, I'm trying to remember there was a draft class they had not that long ago. Well, it was a long time ago, but not that long ago, they had Ben Grubbs and Marshall Yonda in the same draft class, and they came in, and I believe they both started their first year, 07, I think. So that's kind of the last time we saw a true, completely overhaul through a draft class, and it was a first and a third round pick. So, you know, are they going to get three starters? I think probably you're starting Ben Cleveland at right guard. Like, I think that's almost a lock, unless you get, like, I think they're gonna be, I think if you go into training camp and Ben Cleveland and Andrew Voorhees are competing for a right guard spot, I think you're in good shape. I really do. And I don't think it's unreasonable to find a starting offensive tackle and a starting guard in the same draft class. And one thing I do like about it is that they're pretty far apart from one another. Like, you're not gonna have two rookies side by side. So I think that's a positive aspect. You know, we talked about this kind of before the playoffs, and, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link, but it's really, you're only as strong as your two weakest links side by side. And so, you know, having Linderbaum and Stanley, so we just got to hope Stanley's healthy, having Linderbaum and Stanley, and then, you know, it depends really what you're getting out of that right guard. You know, I think that player is going to be very critical to the success of this offensive line overall, with two rookies starting.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I mean, I guess, you know, I know we're obviously talking about the draft, but in theory, there could be no rookie. In theory, right? You could end up with Falele, Cleveland, Linderbaum, Voorhees, who's a rookie, right? Like, he's kind of a redshirt, and then Stanley, right? But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how this thing ends up. But it's a good point you bring up, Glenn, because now you're making me nervous, because there's seriously a need here. The lineup that I just laid out doesn't excite me.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit nervous. But look, this is the one thing I'll say. The Ravens, local media here in Baltimore, especially the guy that's on from 2 to 6, who should not be named, like Voldemort, said that the Ravens overhauling the wide receiver room last year was an impossibility, and that it's going to be Rashad and a bunch of guys. And the Ravens absolutely overhauled the wide receiver room in one offseason. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I have some faith that there might be, in wave 3 and 4 of free agency, they do some stuff and then they draft well. And all of a sudden, we have a good looking offensive line.
If you want to look at a team that did it recently, just look, I think it was 2022. Yeah, 2022, when the Seahawks got bookend tackles out of the same draft. They got Charles Cross in the first round, and Abraham Lucas in the third round. So, I mean, and they started as rookies, and they're a nice little duo for that team. So, of course, I think what's going to piss people off, because the way I've seen this fan base, really any fan base, respond to offensive line play is, you know, it's you give up a pressure and it's this guy. I was reading that Morgan Moses was a turnstile, and I was like, what is wrong with you people? Like, he's been the same player for 10 years, rock solid, not an elite player, but he's a mid-level starting caliber right tackle. You take that any day of the week. So, you know, I think there'll be some growing pains with some young players. It comes down to how much draft capital are they going to put into it? So, and you know, how risky can they be? Like if a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, who's listed as a center, but has played right guard in his career and projects really well to guard, pick him, put him at left guard. You have him beside Linderbaum. That is one hell of a duo that's going to be together for a very long time. So,
yeah.
And you know, it's not unheard of to get a right tackle in the second, third, fourth rounds, a little risky as a rookie, but you know, that's not unheard of. And there's plenty of guys in this draft class that can do that.
Yeah. So Darian in the chat here pointing out Orlando Brown, third round pick after a pretty rough combine performance. Speaking of combine, did anyone just absolutely implode their draft status? Did anyone do a Laramie Tunsil? So I did hear that one individual said he brought up he doesn't believe in space was a comment I heard one individual make. I think it was a DB out of where was he? He said space isn't real. And I just got to wonder, like,
Texas Tech's Tyler Owens.
Yeah, there we go. Like, yeah, space isn't real. Is that the only one? Was there anybody who tanked their draft capital due to the combine?
This was a really weird draft class where it felt like everybody was coming out with relative athletic scores. Like it felt like everybody got a 9. It was very strange. So honestly, like, I would have to think about it, but nobody off the top of my head, I'm like, oh my God, they just
controversy
blew it. Yeah, no, it was a very, I wouldn't say it was quiet because so many guys tested well that got you excited. One guy that I wouldn't say he imploded, so I don't want people to overreact to this, but I just think really did hurt his stock was Amarius Mims, the tackle out of Georgia. He's a guy that has incredible tape. I was literally watching him before I jumped on with you guys. That's why I was a little bit late because I'm working on some tackle film rooms for next week. And I love his tape. I love the way he moves. He reminds me a lot as right tackle Orlando Brown Jr. Actually, it's very similar size, good length, you know, plays that way. But he was basically played like 600 snaps in 3 years because he's hurt all the time. And then when he was running his 40 yard dash, he pulled his hamstring and wasn't able to compete at his pro day. So it was just, you know, I wouldn't say he tanked his stock, but you know, I think that's not a good look. You know, but it does increase his likely odds of maybe sliding down to number 30. And that's one of those guys that, you know, are you willing to take a risk with a super high ceiling, like a super high ceiling as a right tackle, but maybe you're going to have, you know, that injury risk, and now both your tackles are injury risk. So, you know, maybe you say with the depth we have and a guy like McCary who can get us through some games, maybe that's okay. But you know, something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody to talk to. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So talk to me. I mean, I think offensive line, I would agree. The Ravens have kind of pigeonholed themselves. So certainly they're going to take some swings, but secondarily, I also think of edge as once again, it really depends on where things fall.
Clowney, come on, Clowney.
Yeah, I know. Will Clowney come back? Will Kyle Van Noy be around? Will all, you know, just like you said earlier, will there be a run? Like, how do you evaluate this edge group? And do you see any guys, you know, making that intersection between making it to 30 and having value there at that pick without having to reach?
It is interesting because there's not like that top five pick guy right now. And it feels like every year there is, right? But I honestly think Dallas Turner and Jared Verse are being slept on a little bit. I like them a lot more than mock draft seemed to like them. So, but one guy that, you know, really popped to me when I was watching his tape was Leetu Latu out of UCLA. He's just a fun ass player. If he's there at 30,
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I might risk the O-line to go get someone like that. Like, I absolutely love the way that kid plays football. But I think one of the good things for Ravens fans, especially now that we have like 3-4 picks in the fourth round, something like that, is there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of depth and a lot of different styles that they could go get. Like, look at that. It's insane. So, you know,
he's got the size.
It was an interesting group at UCLA, and I saw it because I was studying Jordan Morgan earlier today. You know, they have three guys that are going to be drafted off their edge, and Latu led them. But they also had Gabriel Murphy and Grayson Murphy. So, you know, really, really interesting group there. But, you know, there's just so many guys. A guy like Austin Booker out of Kansas is one that, you know, has that big body that, you know, I think would really intrigue the Ravens. Marshon Neyland out of Western Michigan. Darius Robinson's a guy that kind of boosted his stock. I think he needs a lot more refinement, but, you know, he's a bit of an older prospect, but a very, very powerful guy, a guy that reminds me a little bit of Za'Darius Smith, Pernell McPhee, that type of role. Chop Robinson and the connection to Penn State, that's another guy that I think Ravens fans would you know, really enjoy watching. Just the explosiveness, he's got a little bit of that, you know, away
don't you dare
a little bit of that close but not closing, but
don't you dare
athletic is all hell. So I mean, this edge class is deep. They're gonna get a really solid guy. The guy that I have my eye on the most is Xavier Thomas out of Clemson. I think he's a guy that you can get in the fourth round, and I think he's rock solid. He's been a pressure cooker. He can play outside the tackle. He can play a little bit off ball. He had a 17.1% pass rush win rate, which is super high. And he also had, you know, he was a guy, again, didn't have a ton of sack production, but a ton of pressure production, which the Ravens like. So, you know, that's who I would have my eyes on. Undersized a little bit. You can see the lack of height, lack of length is also there. But a guy that I really think fits what they're looking for on the edge.
Well, good news, Jimbo. He sacked a quarterback in his most recent season in college, which our guy Owe was not able to accomplish. Now, I do want to ask your take on the wide receiver position. I know that, like Jimmy mentioned, the revamping of the wide receiver room. It, certainly, Cupboard's not bare. Led the way, you know, leading the way with Zay Flowers, Bateman, and Aguilar back in town. But do you feel like there's maybe a skill set that's missing from that room? And do you see a guy in the draft that could fit and fill that role and has the skill set to fill the need there?
It's a great question. And I kind of put that question out there on Twitter because I was curious what people thought. Do you think the Ravens need the big body X wide receiver that's kind of like a jump ball 50-50, you know, a Keon Coleman slash a Xavier Leggett? Or do you think they need kind of the three-level separator that's, you know, a Ladd McConkey or a Jermaine Burton or, you know, an Adonai Mitchell, who might be the best separator in this draft. Well, 6'4". aside from the top three, obviously those guys are in a little bit of a different sphere. So, you know, it really comes down to, this is a deep wide receiver group. I love a lot of these guys. I've been spending a lot of time on some of these guys' film. And, you know, I think there's some very, very exciting players. It really comes down to what flavor do you think they need? And this is the year, if you need a big body wide receiver, I think this is the year. There's a lot of guys over 6'1", but I think the guy I like the most as a fit for the Ravens is Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. 6'3", tested really well. I put his film out yesterday. He is an absolute speed demon. He's a guy that, you know, can get up the field and also get up for the ball down the field. So I think he's not a guy that's going to gain constant separation and breaking routes. I think he's got that big body where he kind of turns a little slow. So that is one thing that you're not going to get from him. But, you know, if you want a guy that, you know, is going to, and I mean, the Ravens have done this. We saw it so many times last year. We talked about it so many times. That deep ball did not hit, you know, and they wanted to take those shots. We know that's in their offense. They're going to want to continue to take those shots now that Derrick Henry's in there, because if you stack that box and the Ravens have guys that can throw it over your head, you are quite literally fucked as a defense from like a, how do you prevent it? Cause okay, now we're going to play cover two. Well, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson are going to run it down your throat. So, you know, okay, now we're going to stack the box. Well, if they can hit those deep shots, especially against cover three, that's been kind of every defense's go-to. It's okay, we're going to play cover three off man, keep the ball in front of us. They're going to have to kill us with a death by a thousand cuts. That's kind of how the 2019 offense worked. You know, so, you know, what can they do? So I love Leggett. I think that's the guy that you want to go get because of what he can do downfield as a speed demon.
Yeah, he hit 22 miles an hour on a play. This guy, I know everybody was really getting a kick out of his interviews and his accent, which I mean, he certainly has a Southern accent. I didn't see why it was such a big attention grabber listening to him talk. I mean, he just has a Southern accent, which it sounds pretty cool to me, but yeah, everybody was goofing on his Southern accent, which was kind of funny. But I do want to get your take on one thing I saw when talking about Keon Coleman. I found it interesting in that he didn't run the fastest in his 40, but when he was participating in the catch drills, he was doing so at a faster speed than a lot of guys that ran way faster in the 40 time. So if you're in a talent evaluator, what does that tell you about Keon Coleman as a football player?
Yeah, and I think you can see it on his tape. I put his tape out a couple weeks ago under the big question, can he separate? And the question is, he can't separate well downfield, but he separates very well, you know, in that 15 and under breaking route range. He's very explosive. I don't think he's the same type of ceiling, but his play style, not necessarily the player, does remind me a bit of Dez Bryant, because Dez was that kind of guy where he would dunk on you downfield. He was not always the, you know, getting the most separation, but where he really stood out was with how explosive he can be underneath, you know. And it's like almost like a DK Metcalf, but without the deep speed, because, you know, he definitely doesn't have the deep speed. But underneath, he plays very explosive, and you can see it in his game speed. And that's one of those things, you know, there's a lot of guys that test really well that, you know, it doesn't show on their tape quite as much.
And then you try to justify zero sacks all offseason.
Oh, my goodness.
Another guy that I think plays that way is Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. He has the deceptive speed of, you know, Zay Flowers with how he's able to gear up and gear down, but he does it at 6'2". He just doesn't have, you know, I didn't like, he's got a bit of a lack of physicality, doesn't have a good contested catch game. So there was some pieces missing, but he separates at all three levels really well. And then another guy that I fell in love with was Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. He fucking flies. He averaged like 20.4 yards per catch. He was absolutely flying.
Is this the sneaky athletic guy?
I think he tested really well. He tested like 9.4. He's a freak. He absolutely flies. I mean, I couldn't get over it when I was watching his tape. He had three touchdowns called back this year because of penalties too. So
you guys might have talked about this, pardon my absence, but how much draft capital do you see the Ravens actually investing in the wide receiver?
They're gonna pick a guy. I don't think it's gonna be in the first round. I think it's gonna be BPA from there on out. And if there's like we've kind of seen it with this wide receiver group, like there is a top three, Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Adunze, and then there's like, you know, kind of a second tier of Mitchell and Thomas, but then there's like this dog pile of like 10 guys. All that could go in the second round, right? So I really do think 62 is that sweet spot for a wide receiver. It reminds me, I don't know if it's going to be produce as many all pro type players as we saw with the 14 class, if you go back and look at that, but it was the same thing. It was
you talking about that Marquise Brown year?
No, no, 2014. This was
What am I thinking? Holy
who
crap.
The hell was like it was Sammy Watkins' year, I think. Like it was that long ago. But there was this smattering in the second round of just wide receiver. But yeah, honestly, 2019 is not a bad example either, and a lot more recent because it was kind of the same thing, right? We took Hollywood as the first one, and then a bunch flew off the board. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, a bunch of really, really good ones flew off the board. But I do think Hollywood is going to have a bonkers season this year, which really pisses me off.
Count on it. You can book it, right?
It really pisses me off, dude. I don't like it one bit that he got there.
Outside of the edge, you talk about any other defensive?
No, not on defense. Nope.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? So you're saying they're going to take a guy on wide receiver. Do you kind of view similarities between how the Ravens are looking at the wide receiver group and how the Ravens are looking at the cornerback room? Or do you see the cornerback room as a higher, higher need at this point? And how much, once again, how much capital do you see the Ravens really spending on this group?
I would put cornerback as a slightly higher need, not necessarily because of what they need this year, but because next year gets real scary. If Marlon Humphrey doesn't bounce back, it's going to be really hard to absorb that contract. It's going to be very similar to Stanley where, you need that consistent level play when he counts $26 million against your cap. Like that's just the reality of the world we live in now with these contracts. But Brandon Stevens is going to be a free agent. And they just haven't gotten the development out of guys like Jalen Armour Davis, Pepe Williams, guys that I like, I want to see more of, but they just can't stay on the field. So, I was really, really, really hoping they'd get back Ronald Darby just kind of for that insurance policy. But I could see them taking cornerback in the first round. I could see them taking cornerback in the fifth round. I think wide receiver, cornerback and edge, the three we've just recently talked about, they're all very much the same. If the right guy's there at 30 out of those three positions, I don't think they'll necessarily hesitate instead of reaching for an offensive lineman. I don't think they'll feel compelled to do that. And to be honest, it kind of goes against the way they draft. They do get needier as the draft goes on. Offensive line does feel scary. Like I can't remember the last time and it's really because you start five guys. Like it's tough, right? It's not going out and getting one vet. It's like, fuck, we have to go out and get two vets now. Like Jason Peters is probably going to come back at 45 and play right tackle for us. That's exactly how it feels to me. But, there's a lot of guys in that cornerback class that are very interesting. Some of the ones I like later on, because I really like their third round pick as more of a target for that. If they don't go with another offensive lineman there, Max Melton out of Oregon, Renardo Green out of Florida State, DJ James out of Auburn, Cam Hart out of Notre Dame, and Kalen Carson out of Wake Forest. Those guys are kind of my favorites for that spot. I think my absolute favorite is probably Renardo Green. I don't really understand why he's being seen as kind of a later pick. He had a rock solid season. He's not good in run D, but that's not really what you're paying him for. But I always like guys that play really well in man coverage. So I think that's really where he stood out to me, watching some of these wide receivers, going up against him, struggling a little bit. So, that's a guy that I really think they should take a very hard look at.
I have another interesting question for you, Cole.
Is it about corner?
No, it's not. Do you want to talk about corner again real quick?
I got to know. Is this happening, Cole? Is this really happening right here? Are we finally going to have a white cornerback in the NFL? Look, it's been 20 years? 25
Who was the
years?
Kid? Wasn't there one? Not kid. The guy that played for the Giants a long time
Seahorn.
Ago?
Seahorn. It's been since Seahorn.
Has it been that long?
He was the last one, Jimbo. The last one. And then I heard of this guy. Are they moving him to safety? I got to know. I mean, because he's listed as number one on PFF's board.
Are they going to say he doesn't have the speed, or why would they move him to safety?
I'm just trying to predict what. Come on, man.
I love DeJuan. I had a mock draft the other day where he fell to 30, and I was like, click. Didn't even hesitate. Okay.
Okay.
Not only am I taking legit a corner before offensive line, but oh, Cooper DeJean is so good.
Okay.
Like, so good. Yeah, no, he is a stud. There's no way he gets outside of the top 15. I do think Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo will go before him. But okay. I wouldn't have him as cornerback one, but he's definitely top three and probably will be. And you know, it's really between him and Terrion Arnold for that number two
spot. I think it's fair to say his athleticism is not sneaky.
It's sneaky, dude. It's always sneaky. It's always shocking. Sneaky athleticism. Shocking might be the better term. And then last question. Was it, correct me if I'm wrong, is it Kool-Aid McKinstry that had the injury or the he didn't know about like a broken bone in his foot and that's going to cause him to maybe drop a little?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, that to me sounds like a player that it could fall right into the lap of the Ravens. They love taking those guys that maybe are dropping for something like that. Like we
they love having a rookie with a foot issue.
Yes.
Having
yes,
like they four do times.
No doubt, no doubt. But I mean, everything I'm hearing about this guy is he's a heck of a player, but the injury is what's making him kind of knocked him down a little bit. So, hey, if he can get to the second round and he's still there, I wouldn't be mad at all if they go cornerback again with the uncertainty outside of Brandon Stevens, right, Jimbo?
That's right, baby. Let's go. Now call.
All right, but go ahead, Jimbo.
What's going to infuriate you the most on the night one of the draft, round one? If the Ravens do X, what is going to tempt you to punch a hole in the wall the most?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mike, are you just one of those guys that you just want him to stand and pick?
No, I love this question because in 2022 when they picked, I would have said pick Linderbaum at 14.
Because he had to be patient.
And
he
now patient. You're like, man.
Yeah, I just he was so opposite of the type of, they've never had a center in their history under 3'10". I just didn't see it. Nothing to do with him as a player. I loved him as a player. My film room on him was glowing because I try and do the film rooms as like general scouting, not just Raven scouting. But I think outside of the obvious stuff, like going with a running back, a linebacker, I think the one thing that would piss me off, and God, they do it, is pick Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota. He's a safety. And
dude, if he invests more in that secondary, I'm going to lose my mind.
There would be an argument to do it because they will say they'll repeat what they did last year. They'll have the elite safeties. No, I wouldn't say Gino was elite, but you know, they'll have a, you know, the top split safeties and then play Kyle Hamilton down in the slot and play him all like a Swiss Army. Like, I can understand the argument, but there's just so, like, they don't have the, unless they completely do something in offensive tackle that I don't anticipate, they don't have the luxury to be able to make a pick like that, I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So obviously Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of North Carolina State. You know, there's another punch in the wall. A running back, punch in the wall. you know, so basically a safety, a running back. If they ever drafted tight end, I'd cry. So that's not going to happen. But
right,
yeah, there's basically a luxury pick, I think, is I just don't think. And usually I'm not really that way of thinking because I've always been a big believer in BPA. I think that's the way to go. But usually we're not as fucked as we are at the offensive line. So I just, you know, that, like, this is the first year where I'm like, okay, I really don't know what the plan is here. Like, you just can't see it right until the draft comes.
Watch Falele just come out of camp looking like an absolute beast.
Oh,
I mean,
Cole, you disappointed me. You said you had no hope for him. It sounded like
this is where people get receded and it drives me nuts because, like, of course he can come into camp and look like a different player. And how the fuck do I know that's going to happen? Right? Like, but based on what we've seen, he's had flashes And some of those flashes have been like, okay. But then there's just so many inconsistencies where it's just like, I can't go there. Like, I can't put my trust without a drastic amount of improvement. So he'll have every opportunity, just like Cleveland, just like Voorhees. These guys will be competing. They'll be competing. That's basically your offensive line right now. I think that's how Ravens fans should have that as their perspective. If the season started today, they'll have, you know, Voorhees at left guard, Cleveland at right guard, and Flele at right tackle. And funny enough, as much as you guys may find that daunting, Ravens fans, that's still not the worst offensive line in the NFL, which is kind of interesting. And I think a lot of the reactions to our offensive line play, and it's always been kind of funny to me because you look at league-wide projections analysis that has them as a consistent top 10 unit for every year except for 2021 when they had Villanueva. That year they were not up there. But then you talk to Ravens fans and they're like, got to get better at offensive line. Lamar's always under pressure, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why is there such a gap? And I think most teams think their offensive line sucks. That's kind of my takeaway. Yeah. As someone who spends a lot of time watching O-line, it's just, you remember the bad shit and you don't remember the good shit. That's basically most fan bases think their O-line sucks. That's kind of the reality.
Yeah. Cause they get their quarterback, hurt or tackled in the backfield. We don't like that. I don't like it one bit, but I do want to get your quick take on running back with them signing Derrick Henry. Do you feel good now about what they have and at the running back position, or do you still think there's a need there they could fill?
I think the problem is Keaton Mitchell probably won't be back till December, January. Like, when's it reasonable to expect him back? If he was going to be back for September, I'd feel pretty good. Like, you know, you kind of got your three backs and it's kind of the perfect setup. You got your power back, your speed back, and your receiving third down back. So it's kind of a fun little setup. But with Keaton Mitchell not coming back, I think they'll look for someone in the draft. I think they'll look for a guy that is a little bit of a, you know, the lightning to Derrick Henry's thunder. You know, I think that'll be the approach. I wish, and I genuinely feel this way, I wish Dobbins could come back. But from his perspective, from a contractual perspective, he's going to probably go to a team where he can just be a one and hopefully have a good year, stay healthy, and then get paid, right? That's kind of what would be the most ideal scenario. There's no way he's going to look at the
Ravens.
Trust
him as a one.
Trust
him to be a one.
We did last year.
Now he's got the Achilles on top of all that, you know?
Yeah, no. You get a running back goes down in camp, team gets desperate. You know, there's going to be opportunities like that. Who do the Giants have right now? Like, that'd be a decent little
Breda.
You add Dobbins, there's your guy, right?
Like, I think he's definitely going to get an opportunity, but I think it'll be a competition, not a.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I just mean he's not going to come here to be a change of pace back, because that's not going to get him paid, right?
I think he wants a change of scenery.
Yeah. And I'd love to have him back. I think he'd be a great compliment to Derrick Henry, but I don't think from his perspective it would be of any interest.
No, I agree with you. And let's just hope they keep hitting these undrafted guys like Gus and Keaton. Just keep doing it like you're doing. Just don't draft anyone. Just pick them up after undrafted free agents. Cole, I wanted to thank you so much. Jimmy had to run unexpectedly. As you know, things come up, but I appreciate you hanging out for so long with us. You gave us a lot of time, gave us a lot of knowledge. There's still a lot to talk about when it comes to the draft, so we'll have lots more opportunities to do so, and hopefully we'll have you back on in a couple weeks to continue to drill it down. But Cole, thank you so much for joining us. Guys, if you have not done so, go over on YouTube to Road Graders. Make sure you hit the sub button. Cole will make you a smarter football fan. There's just no doubt about it. Also, the best Twitter follow, in my opinion, at Cole Jackson FB. It's fun, super fun and educational as well. So, Cole, again, thank you so much. Appreciate your time, and have a good night, sir.
Thanks a lot, all. Take care, chat. Peace out.
See you. Yeah, but that's it for us tonight, folks. We will be back, though. Of course, anything breaking, we're always here. We're always going to be up here putting up videos and letting you guys know what's going on. If nothing changes, still won't be very long before we're back here continuing to cover the draft, continuing to cover the second wave that's upcoming in free agency. We kind of saw that first rush where what 10 running backs went off the board and the Ravens end up getting Derrick Henry, but that edge position is still very much so unsettled. We still got guys that were very successful here with us last year with KVN and of course Jadeveon Clowney, who, by the way, I think I saw he's taking a visit to Carolina, which would be a bit of a homecoming where he played his college time. So let's hope. I mean, don't go to Carolina, Jadeveon. I mean, they're a mess. Just come on back. I hope that the Ravens are clearing this cap space. That is a huge bonus what Ronnie did for them to clear out some extra space. They still got some restructuring that they could do with some of their older big name guys like Lamar, Marlon, and Mark Andrews. But let's see what they do. Obviously, they have a plan. It's making me nervous looking at this offensive line, but the Ravens clearly have a plan. We just got to wait and see how it unfolds. Appreciate you guys jumping in tonight. Don C, always supporting the channel and watching. Dave Cutsale, nice to see you make it to another live. Sidarian Smith, appreciate you being so active in the chats. Tanja Bowman, as always, supporting us. Appreciate you for sure. excuse me. Terry, thanks for coming out. Travis. Paul Jenkins, thank you. Killa Cam, that's what I call my son a lot of times. Appreciate you coming out, Killa. Morris Elliott, thank you guys all of the silent observers as well. Appreciate you guys all watching and supporting the channel. And shout out once again to Cole, of course, for giving us so much of his time and helping us be a lot smarter when it comes to this draft. Thank you guys. Have a good night.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.